Welcome to the Top Order podcast. It's that time of year. It's cricketing Christmas, but it's coming in March. It's the IPL 2024 kicking off. Firstly, we're recording this episode about a week out from the start of the tournament. From a squad perspective, things could change rapidly. Last year saw Mumbai, Lucknow, Gujarat and Chennai as the final four, with Chennai equaling the Mumbai Indians' 5 IPL trophies, although Gujarat could claim they were the better side throughout the tournament with 10 wins and 4 losses compared with Chennai, 8-5. But that's cricket for you. In this preview, we're going to come out in 2 parts, covering all the teams, our predictions for the tournament, and who might beat Shubman Gill and Mohit Sharma for the orange and purple caps. All coming up on the Top Order podcast. Stay tuned.
Hello, an intro, Bixie. Well played.
That was a good one.
That was good from you.
Thank you very much. Boys, we're going to stick with a pretty similar format to our IPL previews of the past couple of seasons. So this is episode 1, listeners. We're going to split this into 2 parts. We're also going to release out individual episodes for each team as well. So if you do only want to hear about your one-eyed myopic view of CSK, you'll find a 10-minute podcast somewhere just talking about whether or not Mahendra Singh Dhoni is going to lift a 6th title for the Chennai Super Kings. But in episode 1, we're going to cover CSK, the Delhi Caps, Gujarat, KKR and Lucknow Super Giants. What we're going to do through the course of this is we're going to talk about why a team might win, why a team might lose, players to watch, and then we'll give an individual prediction of where the individual who's done the prep for that team thinks their teams are going to finish. We are going to time box this. So the first team we're going to look at is the CSK. 10 minutes on the clock. Stu, over to you.
Geez, in your intro, you said CSK might not have been the better side. I think some CSK fans that are listening to this might have some question marks. Obviously, defending champions Mahendra Singh Dhoni at the time, lifting the trophy, and we kind of went, is this the fairy tale finish that a player like him might walk away on? And it certainly wasn't. He's decided to come back for another year, which is very exciting kind of for the narrative, but also, you know, when you see a great player, it's kind of great to see them continue. And obviously he contributed in a lot of ways last year. Obviously, you know, we always talk about the leadership and stuff that he does, but he suddenly, you know, built up these giant arms and started smashing sixes everywhere. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he can do. From a squad news perspective for CSK, they were had quite a busy auction, really. They jumped on all the Kiwi contingent in getting Rutch and Ravindra, and then Daryl Mitchell, who, from a New Zealand point of view, we thought the money for those two might flip the other way. We thought Ravindra might be the one who, fresh off the World Cup, might get this giant monetary offer. So he, you know, relatively, I guess, went probably quite cheaply. Daryl Mitchell was where the auction just took off, and he comes in with the big money. And they also ended up picking Shardul Thakur, Mustafiza Rahim, and actually splashed the cash on a young guy called Samir Rizvi, who, you know, we might not know a lot about. 20 years old, you know, only 9 domestic T20 innings. I kind of did my usual, watched a few social media clips of him sitting in sixes, and he looks like he can play after that very limited analysis. But, you know, his recent run of scores with Uttar Pradesh are not that great. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what role he plays. But yeah, a very busy side auction for them, and a few players that they picked up that I think will come into the side.
And Stu, where are they going to go? Well, you've mentioned a lot of players. I'm guessing we're going to have no surprises. You're going to talk a little bit about New Zealand cricketers now. But look, jokes aside, where is their strength? I mean, obviously they won the tournament last year, but what's going to potentially see them lift the trophy again this time round?
Well, I do think that, yeah, one of the main things I put down was that they're a largely settled side from that winning side. So they, you know, obviously did add some players, but if you look back at the final, it was Gaikwad, Conway, Dubey, Rahane, Rayudu, Dhoni, Jadeja, Moeen Ali, Deepak Chahar, Tushar Deshpande, Dikshana and Pati Rana. And the bulk of that side is all together. Ambati Rayudu is retired, and Devon Conway is injured, but, you know, they have replaced him with, Ruchan Ravindra or Daryl Mitchell. We might talk a little bit about that. But I do think that the settled side, the leadership that comes from MS Dhoni and from Stephen Fleming, you know, he's sort of, from a New Zealand point of view, the guy we love to think of as a real cricket brain. So I think that that gives them a real strength. And the way, you know, even just running through those sides, they build their side around a lot of all-rounders, guys that can do a lot of different things. And even when you look through their squad, it means that they can go through and sort of pick and choose who they might want to play in all of the different games and give different roles to people. You know, I named that side. Moeen Ali's batting at 8, I think, in that final side. He's someone who at times has batted 3 or various, you know, various different things. And they've got that in there. A lot of their overseas players can play a number of roles.
Baldy, I'm going to maybe just hand over and get your thoughts on Chennai, because I know from a preparation perspective, look, I've got printed out shit, which is really, really rare for me, but I look over at your iPad, other tablets are available. I looked through and you've got every side in the IPL here in terms of what you think their starting 11 is going to be, but maybe not going through all of that, but where are the key points for you with the CSK and why they might win or why they might struggle?
I think Stu's hit the nail on the head in terms of they've got so much flexibility in the way that they can set up their sides. Because you've got a guy like Jadeja who can bat 4 or 5 even in that T20 lineup, you've got a guy like Dhoni who can bat as low as number 8 and still be effective. Like, they can give opposition so many different looks over the course of the tournament. I thought Mustafa Zu is a great buy for them because he gives them something that they didn't already have in terms of the way that they can structure their bowling. Yeah. It will be interesting to see what the order of those all-rounders are. You mentioned Dubey, you mentioned Jadeja, there's Dakur's there as well, like this, and Mo Ali. There's so many different local all-rounders that it means they can play around with the who do you play of the Daryl Mitchell, the Conway,
Ravindra,
Mo Ali, even Santner. So they've got so many different looks that they can throw at oppositions, and it's going to be a next man up mentality because any one of those guys could form part of their sort of batting or bowling lineup.
Can I selfishly bring it back to New Zealand?
You can.
Two questions, really. So I guess, you know, with Conway going, I'll ask you, Stu, with Conway not being able to make it, does that make them a little bit lighter on the batting than they wanted to be? I'm sure he was going to have a big part. And then following that up, does that mean that Daryl Mitchell and Ruchan Ravindra could actually have quite massive roles in this lineup?
We list our concerns, and the concern was, you know, can they replace Conway's contributions at the top of the order for me? Because, you know, even last two seasons, but even just looking at last season, he averaged 50 last season, striking at 140, and, you know, his partnership with Gaikwad, it basically set the platform for them to do whatever they wanted. You know, you run through the rest of their lineups and their averages, and you had guys like Rahane who kind of just came off and came back to life. But like the likes of Dubey and Rayadu, who, you know, Rayadu in particular had very sort of low average, but he was able to come in and hit like 20 off 8 balls or something like he did in the final and really make a contribution. And that was all because those other two guys were able to set that up. So no Conway makes a massive difference. And I think what it does, though, is it'll be really interesting to see how much. I mean, I would expect Daryl Mitchell comes in. I would be disappointed from how they could use him if they try and replace Conway with Mitchell in terms of putting him at the top of the order. I know New Zealand have done that in the past, put him at the top of the order. I think he's a much better player batting at 4 or 5 where he can come in, really utilize the ability against spin that he has to come in and, you know, try and dominate those spinners, which is such a, you know, going to be such a key part of how teams build up. But I think that might mean that Ruchan Ravindra opens and then, you know, maybe Mitchell comes in and bats where Rayadu bat it, you know, and in that 4 or 5 sort of range. And, you know, then then it means you've only got kind of 2 spots for your other spit overseas. And in the past, that's been the 2 Sri Lankans, Patirana and Thikshana. So I think they've got a few things to figure out, but yeah, potentially some very important roles for New Zealanders.
When they splashed the cash in that auction, they obviously did it thinking Conway was going to play. So this obviously changes a lot there. I've got one question for you, Binksy.
Yeah.
Is your affinity for older wicketkeepers.
Yeah.
What impact do you think MS Dhoni is going to have? And don't tell me about leadership. I want to know what he's going to do on the field this year.
Yeah, and look, that's the question. I think, you know, we alluded to his guns, and it is, you know, he played a bit of a different role, didn't he, last year? He did, I wouldn't say hide himself down the order, but he picked the opportunities for himself to come in and really put the icing on the cake of a number of innings.
That's a really good way to put it, yeah.
It was, you know, it was, we want someone to come in and score 20 off six balls rather than someone that's going to score, you know, 40 off 20 or 60 off 30. So I think he's, you know, maybe just looking at what's on his, you know, to use a Tesla reference, I guess what his battery life is, and where, you know, where he can get to. So I think we'll see that. And look, I still think we'll see, you know, one of the better wicket keepers in the tournament, because I think if we look across a number of the other teams, yes, they'll have some decent keepers in Saha, maybe Jarrell, who we'll come on to talk about, maybe a bit of KS Barrett. But ultimately, a lot of teams pick someone who owns a pair of gloves. So I think it'll be nice to see Dhoni.
And I don't think there's anyone better if you needed to chase big runs and a difficult like run chase. He's the guy that you want out there because he paces chases beautifully.
We've got about a minute to go. So any concerns for Chennai? And then I guess where are we getting to with a prediction as to whether or not they might lift the trophy against you?
The only other concern I had down was the two Sri Lankan players that they, you know, picked last year, in Patirana and Thikshana. I think they've had very mixed past 6 months, particularly Patirana kind of fell away out of that World Cup squad and then was out, you know, was out injured. I don't know, it's a different format in ODIs. Thikshana, I think, has only taken 3 wickets from his past 10 international games. So, you know, they were real key cogs in their lineup last year. If they're not going to produce the same output, then, you know, where does that leave CSK and what they sort of do? Maybe in a way it might, you know, bring Moe and Ali and he has to bowl a bit more and suddenly their batting's a bit better. Who knows? But, you know, that'll be something I'll certainly be monitoring throughout. In terms of a prediction, I still think they'll make the top 4. Raj and I off air were talking about there's a lot of sides that that feel like they're very similar this year and kind of for me, it goes sort of 2 to about 7. I could probably put anywhere in the lineup. I just think that the leadership, all of the positive things that go with CSK, the fact that they won the competition last year, I think that they'll still make it, but I'm a lot less confident about them without Conway there to anchor their innings.
Awesome. The bookmakers have them as second favourites. So Mumbai Indians at 4-1. Other bookmakers are available, but we'll just go with the Bet365 odds to keep it consistent throughout the course of this preview. So Chennai Kings playing you 5-1. And we will leave the preview of the Chennai Super Kings here and we'll move on to our next team. Baldy, I'm going to come to you second. We're going to preview the Delhi Capitals. Some news for them over the course of the last couple of days that Harry Brook is going to play no part in the IPL. But look, I'm sure you've got a very well-prepared monologue for where you see the Delhi Caps. And I can see your preparation notes are not going to let me down. But where are they going to be strong?
Well, I think they're going to be strong in a couple of little areas. And one of them is that they've got some gun local bats that can bat in their top 4. You talk about Prithvi Shaw, of course, at the top of the order, Yash Dhul, and also Rishabh Pant. And I think he's probably the guy that we want to feature early on in this look at the Delhi Capitals, because he has been out for quite some time with a very, very serious injury following his car accident. I think we're all excited for him to be back. And I think the big question is, can he return to some of the swashbuckling form that we've seen from him in all formats prior to his injury? So I think that's the big question for Delhi Capitals fans is, what are we going to get from Rishabh Pant this season?
You might be controversial and
you
ask.
You can.
Are we focusing too much on Rishabh Pant? He's a great player, but I feel like this is, you know, he's not going to win you every game that they play. He's not in that mold of player. He's a good player. There's a whole team here, and we're not focusing on the rest. All the headlines. I mean, yes. All the headlines.
Yeah, totally. And I think the other question is, I know the BCCI have said he's fit to keep wicket, and there's plenty of Instagram stuff around him, and you know, doing some drills. I just wonder, with the intensity and the amount of games for this tournament, how much he might play early on. I wonder whether they might be thinking, you know, is he in and around the squad? Is he, you know, is he rehabbing? And then he, you know, he comes into his work maybe later in the tournament. Interesting to see how they'll use him and what are the permutations if he doesn't play Bordo?
Well, the permutations if he doesn't play is they're going to need to find a keeper from somewhere, and I can't remember in my prep any other wicketkeepers standing out.
There's a young guy called Kumar Kushagra. So he's a young player, India, just played India A, has had limited, first class numbers and things, but I said in the CSK, I did a bit of Googling on Samir Rizvi. I did the same thing with Kushagra, and, you know, he again looks like a serious talent. Yeah, like I said, he's played for India A and he's only 20. So, you know, he just played against the England Lions. He's someone that the Indian media certainly feel like has a big future. So there's some talk that I've seen out there that he might just play anyway, that him and Rishabh Pant might both feature in this lineup. So, you know, he's someone who'll be in the mix.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what they do with that top six, because they've got lots of guys that you would think on paper would be locked in for the top six in that side. So David Warner is obviously going to be the guy who opens up with Prithvi Shaw. Mitchell Marsh is in that side, so you would expect him, now that he's kind of locked into that number three position in T20 cricket, he's been reasonably successful there. And then you've got a guy like Shea Hope, who, you know, has been averaging lots and lots of runs, actually, and probably could wear the gloves at a pinch, couldn't he?
Keeps wicket for the West Indies ODIs, I think, not in the T20s.
Yeah, so I didn't really think about him as a T20 keeper, but of course, yeah, he does keep in the 50-over format. So they've got lots of guys that they could plug into that top six. It's just a question of where. And if Punt and this other guy that you say, Stu, are also going to play, then it really becomes a question of, like, how far down do they want to go before they start sort of thinking about guys like Akshar and their bowlers.
We've talked a little bit about the overseas batters, Bordy. There's clearly an Australian link in this side with Ponting as coach. I'm interested in a couple of things. How much more juice can they get out of the David Warner lemon?
Yep.
And then we talk a lot about those overseas batters, but this is a good Indian batting unit as well with some of the local players.
It is a good Indian batting unit, but I think they're going to rely on Prithvi Shaw getting runs this year. I mean, he's also got to stand up at the top of the order, particularly if they aren't going to get a lot of mileage out of David Warner. In my head, in my memory, I've got no analytics to back this up, but I reckon post-international retirement, these quality batters have still got 2-3 seasons left in them before they start to fade away a little bit. Yeah. We saw Faf had a good year last year. We've seen guys that have, you know, gone through the international arena, come out the other side, and then still play 2 or 3 good seasons of IPL.
Well, I mean, Warner's just had a brilliant, you know, World Cup, hasn't he?
He's had a really good last ODIs, 12 months,
but still.
Yeah, in white ball cricket. So I think he's got plenty of miles left in the tank. I don't think we're going to see a 700-run season from him. You know, he might be in the 400 to 500-run range. If they are, then they're going to need Punt, they're going to need Marsh, they're going to need Prithvi Shaw, they're going to need Shea Hope, they're going to need all of those guys to step up around him. My question really is around who finishes for this team. I don't really have a guy in there. Like, it would be lovely if Marsh was able to finish and bat three, but he can't do both. So where are they going to get that finishing from at 6 and 7?
He can, but he'll be tired.
Yeah, he will.
Marsh, yeah. What do you think?
No, 100%. So I've got Marsh at 3 in this batting lineup.
Yeah.
But that leaves no one really to finish off the innings. You've got the likes of Akshar and Kuldeep and Richardson down the bottom there. I don't see a whole heap of strike weapons with the bat there.
That's where I've got Akshar and Kuldeep as well, so sort of 7, 8, 9. And that's not... that's not as much firepower as we will see from other teams in this tournament. I think that's one weak area that they've got in this sort of first 11.
I feel like there is a real depth issue for Delhi Caps. You know, we talk about, you know, you're going to have to give us your predictions soon. I felt like when I looked at the squad, there is a lot riding on the top level kind of guys. That sort of next step down, there isn't really the real strength that can come through. And, you know, we just talked about CSK. I feel like a lot of guys can plug and play into different spots. That seemed like for Delhi, if those main top 4 or 5 batters don't get runs, and if their spin attack probably doesn't dominate, you know, you've got, you look at the likes of the seam attack. They've just lost Ngidi, who's been replaced by Jake Fraser-McGurk.
Can we come back to that?
We can come back to that. It's very exciting. But, you know, will he play? What kind of a role will he sort of have? But then you've got Nokia, who is coming back from a stress fracture, hasn't played for a long time. And then, you know, you're really sort of struggling, I think, for the rest of their seam attack. So
it's not a like-for-like replacement, is it?
It's not a like-for-like replacement, and it is a big concern for me because you mentioned that name, Henryk Norkia. At his best, was one of the best bowlers in the IPL a couple of seasons ago, but he is coming back from injury. You've got Ishant Sharma in there who is now probably closer to the end of his career than the start. We've got Mukesh in there who has played very, very well. I think a lot relies on their two gun spinners. Like, and they've both been very, very good for India, and they're both very, very good players. But you feel like under all conditions, they're going to have to do the lion's share of the wicket-taking if Norkia is not the number one bowler in the IPL.
I feel like they're banking eight overs there, going, this spin is going to get us eight good overs.
Yeah.
But if that goes wrong, and we have seen it go wrong, I mean, Kuldeep over the years, he's bowling very, very well in the last 18 months. But previous to that, he has gone for big numbers in the IPL.
Mm. Yep.
I think they're going to be in a little bit of trouble there if the spin doesn't come off.
Do you see Marsh agree. Doing a lot of bowling?
I wonder if he will. I mean, he can bowl an over or two, but he's not the guy that you're going to turn to necessarily to get four overs. And if he does bowl four, he's going to have to bowl one in the power play. He's not the kind of guy who swings the ball a lot. He moves it a little bit, but I'm just not sure that Delhi Capitals and Ricky Ponting are going, okay, we can lock Marsh in for four overs here, as you can with some of those other kind of seam bowling all-rounders. So that's a concern for me. Injury concerns also for a guy like Jai Richardson. I think he's got another injury at the moment. He can't catch a break. So, like, guys like Lalit Yadav are going to have to do some bowling. Like, where are they going to get 10 wickets from is the big question for me. And the most puzzling thing is the replacement of Lungi Ngidi, who was probably nailed in their first choice 11 right there.
Yeah, I think so.
And has been replaced with a batter, which doesn't make much sense to me, given what you've got in terms of, you know, Warner, Marsh, Hope. You did have Brooke, who I thought would probably play, but now it looks like he's going to play no part.
They haven't named a replacement for him yet, have they? So maybe they do the opposite and name a bowler for Harry Brooke.
I mean, maybe it comes from another England seamer or something like that. That would be the way that I think they might end up having to go, because they've got really no other options, I don't think. Well, they've got not a lot of depth. They don't have a lot of options like CSK do. Yeah. Mm.
But before we go to predictions, anything else on the Delhi Caps?
One thing I did want to say, you mentioned Yash Dhul before. I'm really intrigued by him as a young player. Again, someone who has had a lot of noise out of India, was in the under-19 setup and all of that kind of stuff. I think he averages 45 plus now in all form, or, you know, around 45 plus in all formats. Mm. I think he was in the side last year, didn't really feature. It'll be interesting to see if he can be worked into this side, you know, with all of the depth issues that we've seen.
Yeah.
I think of him, again, my very limited kind of searching on him, I think of him more of a, you know, four-day player. But, Indian fans can tell me that I've seen more of him.
I've got him in there at five, and I think he's probably in their first choice 11, particularly if Pant doesn't play. But like you say, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with 5, 6, 7, because there's not a great deal of, like you say, 20 off 8 finishing coming in that lineup. I just don't see it.
Betting for Delhi Caps is there at 11-1, so right down the bottom. I think ninth in the charts, or so. Yeah, eighth or ninth in the charts. But where do you think they're going to finish, Paulie?
They could surprise me. This could be one of the teams that really disappoint one of us, because I've got them down in that kind of 7-8 range. I've got them in that sort of tier four of teams in this IPL. But if their best 11 plays really well, they could be pushing on the door as they were last year for the finals. But I just don't see over a long tournament them winning enough games through their depth.
So where are they finishing?
Seventh.
Seventh. Heard it here first. Delhi Capitals going to finish seventh in this edition of the IPL. That does conclude the wrap-up for Delhi Caps, coached by Ricky Thomas Ponting. Let's come on to the next team in the tournament. And this is a team that may count themselves a little bit unlucky, but, you know, pool play is one thing. And when you get to the final dance, you've got to lace up the dancing shoes and bust out the moves. And they didn't in that DLS-affected final against Chennai last year. We're, of course, talking about Gujarat Titans. Mm. Raj, you've done the hard work and preparation on them. So, yeah, what have you got your eye on with the Titans?
Yeah, they need to bust out the umbrella for last year in the Duckworth-Lewis affected final. So the massive headline there around squad changes is Hardik Pandya from the last couple of seasons. It's a massive loss, not just his performances that he brings to the team, but he's one of those players that makes those around him better, lifts them up when you see him strapping on his boots in the changing room. However, that gives Shubman Gill a chance to lead this team and show what he's got. He is down as a future leader for the Indian cricket team, and he's in great form with the bat. Batted really well last year, I think almost 900 runs last year in the IPL.
Gone off and got himself some sun, took a few more photos for his Instagram. Yeah, a few more six-pack photos.
The socials, yeah. From a what they brought in perspective, they brought in Shah Rukh Khan, the finisher, not the actor. Umesh Yadav, and I'm also excited to see the impact of Spencer Johnson as well. It's come in at big money, too. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him. From a success perspective, I think batting is a massive factor for this team, for Gujarat, for their success again this year. Gill, Kane Williamson, David Miller. I'm going to chuck Matthew Wade in there as well. I'm hoping that he gets a go. We saw in the World Cup, I know it was a one-day World Cup, but I thought he was one of the picks of the batters, and he had a lot of Australia's success was because of how he closed out a few of those innings in the World Cup. I also think that they're also one of the more balanced sides in this competition, in that they have people who can chip in all the way down, the batting order, all the way down in the batting department. They don't have a massive reliance on one or two players. I think that there are players there that can chip in and get them the victory that they need.
Can we detour you talking about batting? What role do you think Kane's going to play? I think this is a really fascinating question for Gujarat, because obviously he was in the side when he injured himself last year, got the knee injury. Yeah. And then, but, you know, when I look through that side now, I think that finding a spot for him is actually quite interesting in terms of how they want to, build their side.
So just before you unpack that, so I think that the massive issue that they've got is Mohammad Shami, which I was going to go on to as well. So you know what kind of impact he's had over the last 12 months. He has had surgery on his Achilles, I believe.
Yeah.
He's not going to play a part in this IPL, and that has forced the inclusion of an overseas bowler, I think. I think that's going to
maybe
be where
Johnson
or Little.
Yeah.
I don't know either of those, but that's going to put Kane Williamson's spot at a little bit of risk.
Well, absolutely, particularly if you have to pick David Miller, right? You have to pick David Miller. You have to pick Rashid still?
I think
that's probably 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, and then
it's between Wade and Williamson, isn't
it? If you then pick Spencer Johnson, so that's three, and then you either have to choose between picking Josh Little or Wade or Kane Williamson.
Don't sleep on Omar Zai either from Afghanistan.
That's the other guy.
He was awesome in the ODI World Cup. He's just been scoring runs for fun for Afghanistan as well. He's just scored 100. So, don't sleep on him. Who knows, but they're going to have some tough decisions, as you say.
Real tough decisions. Lots of depth in their overseas, lots of different looks that they can throw at teams, but they've got some really hard decisions to make.
Where do you have Saha in your lineup there?
Look, I had him in the team. Mostly because I think that I had to fill out the remaining local spots, having filled the first four spots with those four overseas guys. I had Wade in there as the finisher at six, but you could equally sub him out for a Little. I didn't realize that Shami was injured. So, I would have another bowler come in, an overseas bowler come in, and then you'd have to pick another local player.
I think that Saha is going to be on a very short rope. I think they're going to open with him, possibly.
Him
and Shubman Gill. If he's not scoring runs early on, I see a very, very quick change, and Wade becomes a must-have with the gloves. I think he's a must-have as a finisher. I don't know. They've got the likes of Shah Rukh Khan there to do that job as well.
Well, I think adding him, again, might give them the option to leave out Wade. Yeah they do, as you say, they've got a lot of different options, but I think they're going to have to be quite a short rope in terms of, you're not doing the job, we're going to have to kind of change the balance of our side now.
Is that the strength, though, here? We've just named about 77 different permutations that they can go with. I think Saha started, the tournament pretty well last time round at the top of the order and kind of tailed off a little bit. Tawatia as well, I think, has offered a bit of depth. Could him and Miller do that kind of finishing role, and then you don't need Wade, and then you've got your local wicket keeper. And I think that's a little bit of a trend. If you can get a local keeper into your side and not have to go with a you know, a Phil Salt or a Matthew Wade or a Joss Butler, you've got more options for your other overseas overseas spots as well.
Shahrukh Khan, with what they're paying him, I think that they are going to expect him to fill out that finisher spot at the start with, and they'll see what happens. But from where I think they're going to struggle, it is their bowling that we just talked about, the losses of Pandya and Shami. Rashid Khan, you mentioned as well, he is, I believe, coming back from an injury as well. I did read that, but I don't know how long ago that injury was. So he may start slow as well, which leaves Umesh Yadav, so who they picked up in the off season. Look, great bowler. He's leading the he'll end up leading this attack, but he does have a tendency to be a little bit hot and cold.
That's a challenge, really, isn't it? When you've got Umesh Yadav leading your attack. I mean, Spencer Johnson could come out and take 30 wickets. We don't know, but we've just started naming guys we haven't really seen before. We don't know what we're going to get. My concern with Gujarat is how long have they got to work this out? Because if they start 1-3, they could be well behind the eight ball before they figure it out. And, you know, you can go on a run in the IPL. If you win 3 or 4 straight, you can, you know, go from zero to hero. But yeah, that would be the question, is like, how long is it going to take this Gujarat team without Hardik Pandya holding them together to work out what their best combo is that's going to work for them?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Little and Spencer Johnson especially are those bowlers that can have that impact for you. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're the bowlers that you end up building your foundation of 20 overs on.
Yep. And just see Little as the depth chart for Johnson with the left arm angle, or do you ever see a situation where both of them play?
I don't think it will fit both of them. I think they have to pick one or the other because of the the millers they have to have in their side. I think you're picking one or the other. Rashid Khan and David Miller playing every game unless they're injured, I think.
Bit of a point maybe for a longer podcast, but Pandya, going to Mumbai, culturally and from a leadership perspective and from a, you know, franchise ability, if that's even a word, how big an impact and an effect do you think that's going to have? We mentioned it would be big, but do you want to expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, look, that is an unknown, right? It's an unknown, and it's an unknown at Mumbai. I'm sure when we get to Mumbai, we'll talk about that being an unknown as well. But they have the foundations of a good leadership group with Gill, with Kane Williamson. They've got the older players, Matthew Wade, David Miller, to lean on. They do have a core leadership group who have played a lot of
Rashid
international
cricket. Yeah, Rashid Khan. Yeah, they've got really experienced players.
Who've played a lot of international cricket. But I also think Hardik Pandya is one of those players that you can't just replace. Yep. Or if you do, you need 3 or 4 players to replace him.
Awesome. Anything else?
Yeah, just on the X factor side of things, I don't think that they need the likes of Mohammad Shami in the India, how he played for India in the One Day World Cup, taking 5 wickets, it felt like, every game. I don't think
they couldn't use that.
No, I don't. Well, they could use that, but I don't think they need that. I think they've got enough good players all the way down their lineup that can chip in. They don't have that over reliance on that one or two players. Spencer Johnson, I'm really excited to see how they use him, because even Mark Wood sometimes has gone in there and just taken a bag of wickets for 15, 20 runs.
Yeah.
I see Spencer Johnson being able to do that as well, and it will really set them up for a number of wins if he can play well.
Yeah, and he had a really, really good BBL, didn't he?
Yep.
A different standard of cricket, but there was times where he was bowling almost maidens in T20, which was unreal.
They have a blueprint of how they're going to win. And as you mentioned, they've got heaps of different options that they could choose, horses for courses, but the blueprint is there. And I guess I'm not comfortable after the last 2 years of dominance that they've had counting the Gujarat Titans out. So I think that they're going to have to prove, or they're going to have to show me that they suck before I say that they suck.
Yeah. So the bookmakers have them third in the pegging. So they're at 13-2 on Bet365. But Raj, where do you have them finishing?
Raj has them in the top 4 in 4th place. But I think because I love RCB so much, I've put them ahead of them. So,
Ooh, wow.
I do think they make the playoffs, though.
Yeah, there are a few hearts overheads picks, I think, that we'll see throughout the course
of that. Definitely see a few of those.
Tonight's podcast, and I can guess where Lip is coming from. That does end our little preview for the Gujarat Titans. We're now going to move on to talk about what my voice recognition has picked up as the Kolkata Knight Riders. It's, of course, the Kolkata Knight Riders. And look, every year I pick KKR as one of my teams to preview, mainly down to the fact that once I was lucky enough to play a club season with Andre Russell. So I'm going to hang on to that as my reason for, I guess, backing them every single year despite their results. 7th last year. for the competition. And I guess why I think they can win it, and I'm kind of going to go on their, you know, their batting. I think Nitesh Rana, Rinku Singh, Rahmanullah Gurbaz. And then I think one of the keys for me, and it probably comes onto that kind of X factor conversation, is they've picked up a really good replacement for Jason Roy, I think, in Phil Salt. Mm-hmm. Because he gives you an option. He's in form for England. He's, you know, a couple of hundreds in the West Indies for England in his probably last but one white ball assignment, but also can wear the gloves as well. And then, you know, we'll talk about probably permutations, but I think KS Bharat's probably the other option with the gloves. Point to prove. He's just been dropped, obviously, from the Indian test match side. I really, really want to see Mitchell Starc on the park throughout the course of the tournament. I know there's been a lot of sort of workload management, particularly from the England and Australia boards in terms of their fast bowlers. So I really hope we see a lot of Mitchell Starc in this IPL. And then they've got some really, really good experience from some of these West Indian guys, that the likes of Russell, the likes of Naren, the likes of Rutherford as well. And then, you know, they've got a really good option in not only Rinku Singh, but Shreyas Iyer as well with the bat. So I think that those are the reasons why, you know, I think that they're going to go well. But yeah, happy to be talked down on any of those points.
Well, can I pick up on the Russell and Naren? How long can these guys keep going? Because when I look at this side, I just think, like, are they automatic picks? You know, every single game, are they, like you talked about Salt and Gurbaz before, you know, potentially those two guys, it feels like if Naren and Russell are locked in, then those guys are fighting for one spot probably, because Starc is already locked in. And these guys, like, it's been a while, obviously, since they've, you know, really, you know, contributed on an international level. They go around and do the T20 circuit. Yeah. Are they gradually, you know, I haven't actually checked the numbers, are they gradually becoming less and less important for the franchise sides?
Look, I've certainly not checked the numbers, and Bordy's got, probably the answer as to whether they squeeze into the lineup. My short answer is I think Russell plays when he's fit, because I think he offers you an opportunity with the bat, an opportunity with the ball, and he's a gun fielder as well. Mm. Naren, I think, might come in and out of the side, so I don't necessarily think he's a lock, particularly depending on what they do with Phil Salt, if they play him ahead of Bharat. But Bordy, I don't know what you think.
I didn't have Naren in my first choice 11. I didn't even have Shafane Rutherford in my first choice 11 as well. I think those are the guys who will rotate in for someone like Mujeeb, depending on how much he plays. I think Starc's a lock. I actually think Phil Salt is a lock, because I think he's in great form at the moment, and I think they need some punch at the top of the order. I think they'll pick him ahead of Gurbaz, even though Gurbaz has had a pretty good last 12 to 18 months. So
with Bharat?
I didn't have Bharat in my first choice 11. I had Phil Salt because he's so damaging at the top of the order. Then I had sort of Rana, Iyer, Rinku, Pandey, Russell, Venkatesh Iyer, then sort of Starc, Sayakarya, Mujeeb and CV Varun. So I had a pretty heavy spin attack, but with backup from Starc and Sayakarya.
And just to answer your question directly on Russell in particular, I think he's someone you don't look at the numbers. You know what he can do. Similar to what Karan Pollard's done with Mumbai when he was there. They can just win games for you. Mm. And if they win one game, that's great. If they win three games,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, he has the ability to do that.
If I gave you the line of Andre Russell's going to win 2.5 games by himself in this IPL, near enough, like man of the match worthy performances, do you go under or over?
Yeah.
I'd go under. And I actually think, maybe this transitions to it.
You won't be welcome in the bar of my old club, that's for sure.
Well, because I actually think that the real match winner on their side and the guy that I'm super excited for is Rinku. I mean, he's got so much to play for, I think, in this IPL. We've seen the last couple of seasons how much he's been able to add and how many kind of huge moments that he's had in this tournament. He's got a T20 World Cup spot to nail down, and this tournament's going to be massive for picking that, and great opportunity for him.
Not to be a negative Nelly, but our side's going to be able to work him out eventually. Like, as he got some regression, because he's been amazing the last, season or two or whatever. Certainly it feels like teams haven't worked out how to combat him yet. My only concern looking at that KKR lineup is that if teams can combat Rinku Singh, then there's a winnable game there for you if you can do that.
Yeah, look, I think they've got a bit, and I've written this down as well, I think they might struggle, is I think their batting lineup, that, you know, particularly with some of those guys that like Rinku, like Dre Russ coming in, to an extent, even like a Shreyas Iyer, they need to catch a really, really good run of form. And if you've not got two or three of those guys going really well, we've talked already about a couple of teams where you're kind of looking at that top three, top four. We looked at Delhi Capitals and we're talking about Prithvi Shaw, we're talking about David Warner, we're talking about Mitchell Marsh. They're stacked at the top. These guys have really got to get their middle order firing. So I think that probably is a little bit of a question mark as to whether they can get them to fire consistently. And that's the risk with someone like Rinku Singh, who doesn't catch the cards, and has to keep folding, or is made to fold, I guess.
So speaking of risks, so we're about 60% through this team here, KKR, and we haven't spoken about the $3 million man once. What about Mitchell Starc? Oh, I mean, it's in terms of being an impact player, we haven't mentioned him at all.
Yeah, look, I said at the top, I hope we see him play a lot in the tournament. I think he is, you know, almost the first name on that team sheet, considering the money they've paid for him as well. I think that, you know, they went out, they really wanted to make sure that they secured him. So I think him and, you know, Majib, I think, are there as the overseas bowlers. Look, I think he can light up this IPL. You talked about Mark Wood and, you know, what a guy with, you know, extreme pace can do. I think as well, not to underrate his batting as well in that sort of, you know, 7, 8, 9, he'll light those Indian grounds because, you know, when he hits it, he doesn't plink it, does he? I think he's going to have, I think he's going to have a really, really big impact as long as he can obviously stay fit and, the ACB or whatever they're called now, Cricket Australia, let him bowl some overs, which I'm sure they will.
What are you expecting from Starc, Raj? Like, what is his floor? What is his ceiling in this tournament?
Well, I think he's got a very big ceiling, but I also think he has a very low floor as well. I think there's a lot of expectation on him that he's just going to be a plug and play sort of element of this lineup. But we have seen him go through periods of his career where he's struggled.
Yeah.
And this is a six weeks?
It's about 8 weeks.
Eight and a half weeks. This is an eight-week tournament. It's very easy to not be able to deliver in that period of time. A lot of pressure.
And they're going to rely a lot on him, I think, in the seam bowling attack because, you know, you mentioned him before. You mentioned, the other guys, I think, in their bowling attack. It's really spin. You know, we've got Majib, if he plays. We've got Chakravarti. And I think, I mean, Suyash Sharma played last year. I thought I'd loved watching him bowl. Yeah. So I think they've got a bit of spin depth, but seam bowling depth looks quite weak. And if you don't have those overs up front, I mean, Chakravarti maybe can bowl some overs up front. But anyway, I think that if Starc, like you said, you know, I hope he plays. I think if he doesn't play, if they kind of resting him or that kind of thing gets in the mix, then I think they're going to really struggle with their seamers.
Well, and I think that is where they ultimately will potentially struggle. Chakravarti, 20 wickets last year. Dre Russ, I think, 7 wickets. She talked about Sharma. But they had a couple of overseas seamers. And, I'll say it very, very quietly because it's a New Zealand-based podcast. But Tim Southee and Lockie Ferguson really didn't have a lot of impact. They only played 5 games between them. But I think what we're going to need to see is obviously Mitch Starc play, you know, a number of games, Dre Russ to be fit so that they can go to those, you know, to those spin options throughout the course
Does
of the tournament.
Does Gus Atkinson make your side?
He's withdrawn from the tournament.
Yeah, he's so out. Unfortunately, not. he would have been a really good guy to have.
He's been replaced by Chimera from Sri Lanka.
They lose a little bit when they don't have Gus Atkinson because he would have been the guy that bolstered that seam attack potentially for them, right?
Minute to go, Binksy. How are they going to give us your prediction on how they will fare in this tournament?
Yeah, so look, I think from a betting perspective, the bookmakers don't give them much chance. They've got them right down the bottom of the table, paying 12 to 1. From a ladder perspective, you know, finishes seventh last year. I'm going to let the heart rule the head, and I'm going to say that they're going to scrape into the top four.
Top 10.
Yeah. I think they're going to, scrape into the top four. But for listeners, that is, you know, that really is a heart from head kind of prediction. I think they'll be in a pretty similar place on the ladder, but they do have a couple of, well, more than a couple of match winners. I think you write them off at your peril. I think their social media game might be a little bit stronger than where they finish on the ladder. That wraps up our preview of the KKR. We've got just one team to go in this preview. We're going to come over to my learned colleague, Mr. Baldwin, for the final preview of episode one of this IPL preview show, episode two, hitting your feed very, very shortly afterwards as well. And if you do want to stick around and listen to our predictions for who's going to win the tournament outright, so we will have a debate on that, even though, of course, at some point someone will name one of their teams as the winner. And do tune into episode two, because that's where we'll cover off who we actually think is going to make those semifinals, dominators, eliminators, whatever they're called this this time round. But we're going to talk about the LSG.
Why not?
That's I'll let you get your little joke in. I haven't laughed at once.
But... No, yeah, okay. Well, I won't say it then. Fine. The Lucknow Super Giants.
No, I want to hear it now.
Not just regular Giants. Yeah. The Super Giants.
Here it is.
Not just regular Giants. look, this is another team that has really confused me. I did a bunch of prep on these guys, and I could be convinced that they finished third, and I could also be convinced that they finished eighth in this version of the IPL, and neither of those would surprise me. You have a look up and down the lineup. There's match winners everywhere. There's exciting players to watch, but are they going to win games of cricket? I'm still not sure. I'm really, really not sure whether or not this team can win more than five or six games of cricket over the course of the tournament.
How do you think Justin Langer's going to go?
Yeah, no rubbish bin's going to be safe, is
yeah,
it?
No. That's, I feel like he's an interesting, you know, obviously we'll talk about the team, but I feel like he's an interesting person to come and run an IPL team.
He is, because he's one, he's very intense, and two, he's very detail-oriented. So what I have heard about Justin Langer is that he has a very, very, very minute attention to detail, and that he will leave no stone unturned in preparation. Don't let the fact that he is predominantly or was predominantly a test player during the course of his cricket career kind of cloud your vision of what he might be like as a coach. In an IPL game where there's 120 balls on each side of the ledger, he's a guy that will be prepared for every possible eventuality of all 120 balls. Now, that might benefit some players in the playing group. It might also detract from players who want to have a feel for the game. The Ian Bothams of the world, the Dre Russes of the world. You know, I don't know that Dre Russ is.
Who's Botham playing for?
Well, he's probably retired now. But what I'm saying is that there are some players who will really benefit from that. There are some players that probably might not benefit so much. So it's whether or not he's going to get the best out of his charges. But I know that he will have plans A through to Z in a big file folder somewhere in that sort of pinball machine that is the Justin Langer head. But you're right, he is an emotional fella, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. All of these things are unknown quantities as far as IPL coaching is concerned.
And if those plans go well and he, you know, architects your I guess dream scenario that they've finished somewhere near the top, what is going to go right for them with that lineup?
Well,
and
I think
those permutations,
what's going to go right is that their match winners in the middle order and finishing come off more often than not. So guys like Deepak Hooda, Marcus Stoinis, Kyle Mayers come off more often than not, and the top of the order, guys like KL Rahul and Quinton de Kock, have big, big series where they're in the top four or five run scorers over the course of the tournament. I can't wait for the KL Rahul scores at 125. Is he the right person for the job? Honestly, if these guys are going to win what? I think they're going to need to win nine games to make the playoffs. He's going to have to score 550-plus runs at the top of the order, and Padikkal, Hooda, Stoinis, Mayers, whoever needs to come off of the back of that. If those two guys at the top struggle or miss time due to injury, I think that's curtains for LSG.
We don't know if KL Rahul's going to be fit for game one, do we really yet? He's got obviously gone to, you know, missed the test series or a lot of the test series, certainly the back end of it. Went off to the UK to get second opinions and things. So I think like the last thing I read was that he's hopeful to be fit, but yeah, that's still a question mark, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, there are some question marks around this team. The balance of the overseas players is one of the question marks that I really had. I mentioned a bunch of match winners, but how they fit them in the side is TBC.
Can I ask you what overseas players you have in your team? And then I have a secondary question.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, because if you think that Quinton de Kock is a lock, and I would have David Willey in there as a left armer, they do have Shamar Joseph, which could be super exciting. But I just feel like David Willey's had a pretty good career as a really, really reliable bowler. And if you have a look up and down that bowling lineup, they kind of do need someone like him in the side, I think. But you know, do they just roll the dice and they're going to we're going to go with Shamar Joseph? Then they've got Stoinis, Mayers, Nicholas Puran, and Ashton Turner. Now Ashton Turner is probably at the bottom of that list, but has had a really good BBL, particularly over the last couple of years, to fit into what would be two spots if they only pick one of Willie or Shamar Joseph. So how they fit those guys in together is a real conundrum. I think I would be tempted to go with Stoinis and Mayers, mainly because those guys give you a little bit with the ball as well. I know that Stoinis' form over the last 24 months with the bat has been patchy, but actually his value to Australia in T20 cricket has been he's been able to swing the ball at the top of the order and actually been able to bowl reasonably well in the first sort of six over power play. So that would be the reason I think the selectors might be thinking, well, do we go with that known quantity that we're going to get with Stoinis with his bowling? Because otherwise you're looking at a guy like, you know, Nicholas Puran or bowling Joseph and Willie in that bowling lineup. So yeah, look, I honestly don't know what they're going to do.
Looking up and down the out and out bowlers, they're probably invested the least amount in across all the teams in out and out bowlers.
Yeah,
from a monetary perspective.
From a monetary perspective, is that a real weakness for you?
I think it's a concern. Yeah, it is a concern. I mean, I don't see too many match winning bowlers in that lineup. You've got Krunal, Ashad Khan, Bishnoi, Willie, Naveen, Shamar Joseph, yeah, and maybe some Avesh Khan or some Mohsin Khan. Like, who are they going to?
There's a few names in the end.
Who's going to be the guy in that side who takes 25 wickets and leads the top of the like economy charts? Yeah. I'm not quite sure we have that guy.
Yeah, look, I guess you know the good thing is there's a bunch of guys that can stand up and potentially do that and stamp their name on the tournament. But when I kind of look down that list, missing Mark Wood from last year, we talked about extreme pace and that being something that is of benefit in the IPL. Shamar Joseph, whilst nippy, is probably not extreme pace.
Not quite Wood level, is he?
But yeah, and I think coming bursting onto the scene as well as he has, certainly fun. Will he stay fit and be able to bowl at even that kind of 145 level throughout the course of what is a, you know, 97-day group stage? So look, that, you know, that probably is what, you know, one of those question marks.
The other question I had on here was really some of those Indian players, the likes of Deepak Hooda, Krishnat Gautam, Ish Bhadoni. I feel like they've got to get something out of those guys. I mean, particularly Hooda. I was stunned when I looked. I knew he didn't have a great tournament. I think he averaged about 9 or something last year. Like, he was someone that's been in the India side. You know, he was someone that we were talking about in and around making kind of World Cup squads, having an impact.
100%.
He just fell off last year completely.
They're going to need runs from Devdutt Padikkal, who we've just saw and actually played a really nice test inning.
Yeah, interesting trade that Padikkal for Avesh Khan. Yeah. You know, it's a real, you know, let's see how that goes for both sides.
Yeah, I quite like him at the top of the order or close to the top of the order for LSG. And you're right, you're going to need, particularly if you only pick one of those overseas all-rounders, you're going to need to have a great season from Deepak Hooda because he's going to need to be the other middle-order guy who then finishes.
Yeah. Is he going to get the opportunity as you've got him on your side?
I would have thought so, yeah. I mean, unless they do something crazy like they only pick one all-rounder and then they go with like a Puran or a Turner or something like that, or they completely change. Or maybe they pick Gautam.
I think Puran's on your side, by the way. I just think that he's had the pedigree and he's someone that they'll go over Mayers. Just looking at last year, what they did with him, he kind of plays that role where I feel like he comes off two games and he wins you a couple, but he like fails in all the other ones.
Yeah.
Especially if Rahul's not there.
I go the other way though. I have Mayers in the side because I think that over and under him winning you games of cricket is 2.5. Like, and he gives you a little bit with the ball. He's got an opportunity to make things happen, and he's the kind of guy who does make things happen. Puran's got a terrific pedigree, don't get me wrong, and if they wanted to pick one all-rounder, Puran's the guy that comes in. But, yeah, I have Mayers because I think this side needs match winners because I said look, it's got a reliance on the overseas players, and how are they going to get their match winners?
We're coming into the final minute on the Lucknow Super Giants. They are, I think, Bordy, sixth on the betting at 15-2. You think it could be rocks or diamonds?
Yeah.
Where do you actually think it's going to be? We will press you for an answer.
Yeah, real rocks or diamonds side. I have them finishing eighth in this tournament. I just don't see where the consistency is going to come from against those other elite teams. But like, yeah, if they finish third, I would not be surprised, but I've got them finishing eighth in this version of the IPL.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up our preview on the Lucknow Super Giants. It also wraps up the first of our two IPL preview shows. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we will also get individual little short videos out on each of the teams as well. But if you do want to find out how we think Mumbai, Punjab Kings, the Royals, the RCB and the Sunrisers fare in the course of this IPL 2024, you will need to tune in to the next episode, episode two of our IPL 2024 preview, all coming up on the Top Order podcast. But for tonight, it is good night and God bless. And we'll see you, as Dr. Dre said, on the next episode. See you later.